Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. Author Neal Stephenson has a talent for seeing future possibilities and then writing about them. After all, it was he who coined the term metaverse in his 1992 novel Snow Crash. A version of that metaverse is the pet project of tech titan Mark Zuckerberg and the company formerly known as Facebook, now Meta. In his latest cli-fi novel, he envisions a not-so-distant future, one where climate change has created refugees in Texas and necessitated cooling earth suits to be able to walk outside on certain days. A future where disruptions to the ecosystem have caused feral hogs and fire ants to run rampant in Texas, where the leaders of the Netherlands have installed massive pumps to keep their country from disappearing underwater. Enter billionaire Dr. T.R. Schmidt, who believes he has the resources and know-how to almost single-handedly solve climate change. His idea? Shooting massive amounts of sulfur into the Earth's atmosphere in order to cool the planet. Schmidt has gathered a group of world leaders invested in climate change to hear his grand idea. Many are skeptical, but when Schmidt's sulfur machine actually starts to cool the Earth, world leaders are forced to reckon with the potential of the solution and the unintended consequences of disrupting the environment so drastically. The novel is called Termination Shock. Kirkus calls it the kind of climate change fiction we all need. Neal Stephenson is speaking tomorrow night at The Strand at 7 p.m. You can head to The Strand website to buy tickets to that event. But first, I get to talk to him. Hi, Neal.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So when you're creating this near future world affected by climate change, how much are you using science to guide you?
The science of what this guy is doing, what Schmidt is doing, putting sulfur into the stratosphere to bounce back some of the sun's rays, is reasonably well established. We know that it happens after volcanic eruptions, but we can't know in detail what would happen if somebody actually created an artificial system for that. So it's a mix of science with me kind of speculating as to what might happen and how people might react to it if somebody actually tried this.
Why did you pick Texas as the primary setting for this story?
Well, I was looking for parts of the world that were directly affected by climate change. And Texas definitely falls into that category because of the parts of it around Houston that are close to sea level and are constantly getting flooded and hit by hurricanes. But I also wanted parts of the world that have money, mm-hmm. and a tech industry and a kind of technocratic mindset that might lend itself to them taking this kind of direct action. So that narrowed it down to a few places, and I thought Texas was kind of the best choice, just because of the role that it plays in our national psyche.
Yeah, this billionaire, Dr. T.R. Schmidt, he owns a restaurant chain, also mega truck stop chains, and he seems to want people to know that he's a different kind of billionaire. I'm going to read a description from your novel. On a good day in the stock market, he might be worth $10 billion. He was not, he wanted understood, one of those tech boys who had, as the result of an IPO, overnight come into more money than Dr. T.R. Schmidt would ever be able to accumulate simply by dint of actually growing a business. I'm curious why you wanted him to be this sort of fellow.
Well, there's a tendency for us to look to the tech billionaires like Elon Musk and Bill Gates as kind of the problem solvers for our society, which in some ways they are. I mean, it feels like we've kind of gotten to a place where the institutions we used to rely on to solve problems for us aren't functional anymore. And mm-hmm. so we're kind of leaning on billionaires to do it. So that's definitely been a trend that we've all seen in the last couple of decades. But I didn't want to go with just the obvious tech billionaire angle. I wanted to go with someone who had personal roots in the oil and gas industry and in mining and kind of heavy industrial sectors of the economy.
There is an interesting divide in the book between those of an older generation, people with power, who do seem really wanting to solve climate change, whatever their motivations, and then the younger generation who feel that not nearly enough is being done. But the proposal here, this sulfur cannon, isn't exactly the kind of drastic move that many might call for or necessarily feel comfortable with. What did you want to explore about that tension between taking, not taking big enough action, or maybe taking action that might be too big?
Well, that's kind of where we are
now.
You know, we really needed to drastically reduce carbon dioxide emissions 25 years ago if we were going to avert kind of serious global consequences. That's dry understatement, by the way. So I think that even a lot of people who think of themselves as really paying attention to climate issues and who are concerned about this may not fully understand just how deep the doo-doo is that we've stepped into. What my character in the book is doing is a stopgap kind of desperate measure that's intended to blunt the effects of global warming over a time span of a few decades, while we can hopefully get busy solving the actual problem, which is too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So that's kind of how I see the reality of where we are right now. I think a lot of times this isn't directly talked about. I think a lot of the public conversation around climate change and carbon capture kind of skirts the real reality of where we are. Mm. And so it just looked to me as a storyteller like an opportunity to do something that I hope people will find interesting.
The name of the novel is Termination Shock. I'm speaking with Neil Stevenson. Neil will be speaking at the Strand tomorrow night at 7. Tickets are required. Everyone should know that. Let me ask about the title, Termination Shock. What does that mean in the context of climate change in this novel?
So one of the objections that people have made to the idea of so-called geoengineering, which is what my character in the book is doing, is that if you were to shut the system down after it had been running for a while, the climate might suddenly snap back to where it would have been if you hadn't been doing the geoengineering and might do so in a very sudden and kind of violent way. So that specter, that failure mode, if you will, is referred to as termination shock. And it's something that gets brought up several times in the course of this book when people are looking at what Schmidt is doing with his big sulfur gun and saying, well, okay, this is scary. He shouldn't have done it. It's irresponsible. But now that he's started, you know, would it be even more irresponsible to shut it off?
I want to ask you about a couple choices you made in the book that won't give too much away. In fact, the first part, this won't give anything away. The first part of the book is not really about this necessarily directly about this climate change scheme, but it's about these feral hogs, a scheme to hunt down and kill feral hogs, which in your version of Texas have become a real and deadly problem. Why?
It's not just my version, by the way.
Yeah. So tell me.
Go ahead.
No, you tell me. Go.
You mentioned that and fire ants as a, you know, kind of science fictional menace, but they're both very real menaces today in that part of the world, and they're getting worse over time. So feral hogs were in the news a few years ago when people were arguing about assault rifles and whether, you know, average citizens should be allowed to own assault rifles with high capacity magazines. And someone somewhere in that part of the country made the point that if their property got invaded by 30 to 50 feral hogs, they would have to have that kind of a weapon in order to defend themselves, which was sort of not taken very seriously, I think, by people in other parts of the country. But it's actually a legit concern and getting worse over time. There's millions of these animals running around Texas alone, and they're invading other parts of the country and sort of really all over the world. And they're kind of unstoppable.
You choose to mention COVID Why did you decide to use that?
You know, I went back and forth on this. When I started writing the book, it was pre-COVID. And then during, so while I was writing most of it, COVID was happening. And I actually put a lot more COVID material into the book than I had ever expected to. And then when I kind of went back and reread it, I thought, you know, okay, we get it. You know, we're all kind of sick of masks and all of the other COVID stuff. And I need to dial that back a little bit because, you know, even though it might be realistic, everyone's kind of sick of it. It's kind of obvious. And so what you're seeing in the book is kind of a middle ground, kind of hopefully kind of a Goldilocks position between not mentioning it at all and having the book be all about COVID.
The name of the book is Termination Shock. I'm speaking with author Neil Stevenson. So, Neil, I do have to ask you, for those who've been reading your work a long time, noticed you're in the news lately because of the term metaverse, which appears in your 92 novel, Snow Crash. Of course, this is part of Facebook's rebranding and the new focus on this initiative called the metaverse. What did you think when you first heard this?
Well, they say they're focusing on it. I've heard that they're putting resources into this stuff, but really what we need to be doing today is focusing on what that company is actually doing today. Mm-hmm. So today they don't have any products like that. Today, what they've got is Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram. They've got free social media platforms that, because of the way their business model works, are, in my opinion, inflicting a lot of damage on our political system and our institutions. So I would just recommend not being too distracted by what they say they're going to do in a few years, and instead maintain focus on what they're actually doing today, and maybe ask the question, you know, if they're going to run this supposed metaverse thing using the same business model that they're using with their existing products, how is that going to undo some of the damage that has been inflicted on our political system in the last few years?
There's a lot of wisdom in that answer. For people who wonder, who maybe aren't familiar, what did you mean when you wrote about the metaverse?
Well, it was a hypothetical kind of 3D, is what we would now call a massively multiplayer online world where you could interact with large numbers of other people who were in other places in a 3D interface. And, you know, that already exists. There's a whole bunch of games that are being played by millions of people that already sort of do this. And so when people talk about the metaverse now, I think they're apparently talking about sort of less game-like uses of the same idea. Mm. But you can go online play Fortnite or World of Warcraft or many other games today and have exactly this kind of basically metaverse experience.
Neil Stevenson will be speaking at The Strand tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Tickets are required. His new book is called Termination Shock. Neil, thank you so much for being with us, and have a great event tomorrow night.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.